Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Sporty greetings, Nnamdi.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Tyson Fury puts his WBC heavyweight title on the line Saturday night, Nnamdi, when he takes on Deontay Wilder for a third time in Las Vegas. We'll have you break that fight down. But first, look back to September 25th. Alexander Usyk of Ukraine takes three of Anthony Joshua's belts. What went wrong for AJ?
Sonny, a lot of things went wrong for homeboy in front of 70,000 fans in London. Anthony Joshua started very slow. He gave away the early rounds. Game plan for the fight was not there at all. And it was a very painful loss to watch Anthony Joshua perform the way he performed in front of his fans. I call it the surrender. When you surrender three belts, and then you know there's a big mega fight upcoming, there's really no excuse for that performance. He has a lot of explaining to do to his fans for such a bad, embarrassing performance by Anthony Joshua.
Nnamdi, how much blame do you put on Anthony Joshua's corner for his bad, embarrassing performance?
Sonny, it's very easy for us to blame the fighter. But during the fight, with microphones in AJ's corner between rounds, I did not hear the trainer say anything that made sense. All I heard was be smart behind the jab, keep your left hand up. A good corner will change game plan, make adjustments as the fight progresses. No motivation in between rounds. And I've called for this trainer to be fired after the first Andy Ruiz fight. And he brought him back for all the fights, the rematch and the other fights. And I just not been impressed at all. Anthony Joshua was way out of his league in this fight. I mean, he almost got knocked out in the last round, you know. I mean, he almost got banged up in the second round. So there was no adjustment. And you know that every great fighter must be able to adjust or read the fight, you know. The trainer, then you wonder, did they even look at Usyk's tapes with Chisora in camp? It was not like Usyk was calling to fight 2 weeks before the fight. They knew all along this Usyk fight is on the table. Go to camp, prepare. What were they doing? There was no jab. There was no uppercut. There was no power punch, his big right-hand punch. He looked scared. He looked tired. So there's a lot to unpack, but the corner failed the fighter. In the fight game, we say Anthony Joshua lost the fight in the corner, and we hope he will make a change before the rematch.
Where do we stand in terms of that rematch?
Sonny, after the fight, the rematch clause was activated by Anthony Joshua, which means the second fight must happen. Where do we stand with it? They will have to negotiate, but understand right now, Anthony Joshua is no longer the champion, and Usyk wants this fight to go to Ukraine. You don't blame him, but he will want a lot of money to go back to London. So we are looking at February 2022, spring 2022, with Usyk going back to London. Then you have to give Usyk a lorry load of pounds, I mean British pounds, because he is now the champion. He's in the pole position. He wants all the money. And then if the promoter wants Eddie Hearn, AJ Trainer wants a fight in the UK. For the fans, they will have to cough up a whole lot of pounds.
Namdi, what's your sense right now of the rematch? Can AJ reclaim the title belts?
Sonny, in the rematch, if Anthony Joshua decides to go back to his trainer with a clueless crew, it's a very good chance he will be knocked out. Because remember, Usyk, who is a cruiserweight, who we also call a baby heavyweight, had him off balance for 12 rounds, had him almost knocked out in the last round. If Anthony Joshua don't make the changes, remember, all the elite heavyweights we see on that we're going to see on Saturday night, they've made changes. Deontay Wilder brought in a new trainer. After the second fight with Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury brought in Sugar Hill from Emmanuel Stewart's Kronk Gym in Detroit. So everybody made changes. So if Anthony Joshua still decides to go back with the same trainer and the clueless guys that could not read the fight in the corner, I promise you something, and I'm saying it here on the show on Sunny Sides of Sports, baby heavyweight, cruiserweight, Usyk, Alexander Usyk, will knock out Anthony Joshua in the rematch if he stays with the same group of people.
Let's talk Fury Wilder 3, Namdi. They'll go at it again on Saturday night in Las Vegas. In their second fight, Fury stopped Wilder in 7 rounds back in February 2020. What changes have they made since that second fight?
Sonny, Deontay Wilder fired his corner and brought in Malik Scott, a former heavyweight fighter. And from the videos we've been seeing, Sonny, this is a new Deontay Wilder. He didn't say much at all the press conference. Looked like he got his mojo back. And my fear is only that if he goes into that ring with that anger, you know, if he can't control it, he fight himself down with one punch. But this is a different fighter. He's got it going on. And if he takes it into the ring Saturday night, it's going to be an explosive knockout, you know. Tyson Fury is going back with Sugar Hill from Detroit, coming from Kronk. But he was able to bring in young sparring partners. And these young sparring partners were tall heavyweights that can punch. And one of them is Efe Ajagba from Nigeria and Gerald from the USA. And they really, really gave him some real bang up in the gym. So both guys, they've made changes. And both guys are ready to rumble Saturday night. And if it goes the way we're going to expect, these are 2 knockout artists. Somebody has to go down and there'll be no need for the referee to count.
Namdi, how have Fury and Wilder looked in their respective training camps?
Sonny, both fighters have looked really good in the training camp and the videos we've been looking at. I mean, the sparring partners have been top of the line and everybody's been saying the right things and there's no COVID to worry about. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's in Las Vegas as we speak. Press conference Wednesday, weigh-in Friday. It's a fight week, Sonny. The big heavyweights, man, you know, when they drop the bomb, somebody has to go down, you know. I think it's a very close fight. I mean, it's very hard to predict this fight because, one, if we go back and look at the second fight when Tyson Fury destroyed Deontay Wilder, you said, no, Deontay's finished. Deontay cannot come back. But on the other hand, don't forget, Deontay has that electric power punch that if he drops it on you, it will be the end. That is, if Deontay lets Tyson Fury off the hook like he did in L.A. the first time, then Deontay will be in trouble. But on the other hand, too, Tyson Fury can, we've seen him go down a couple of times and got up. If he's able to nullify Deontay Wilder's big right hand, we can see the same thing that happened in the second fight for the rubber match. But it's a very tough fight. Both guys are ready. And this fight here, both of them want it. And Deontay made a mistake in the second fight. And he, in the first fight, he had Fury out, down twice. And the referee gave it a long count. So at this point, Sonny, it's a 50-50 fight. These are good punches. One punch can change the fight. If Deontay goes in with all that anger and he really wants to kill Tyson Fury, if Tyson Fury targets him and takes him out, it's over, it will be over quick. But I'm going to tell you one thing, Sonny. It's not going to be lean on me, hold me, grab me, jab and run away, run around. No, it's going to be toe to toe. Nobody back up. It's a heavyweight rumble. Let's go.
All right, let's go, Namdi. Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more verbal jabs from Namdi later this week ahead of Fury Wilder 3 on Saturday night in Las Vegas.
Hello, listeners. My name is Moses Muhanji, President of Uganda Boxing Federation, also member AIBA Marketing Commission, and also member AIBA Observers Commission. And you are listening to the Sun Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Moses. Moses has been talking with Magume Davis Rakawinch about Uganda's boxing trials. About 700 boxers have been invited to the trials, which are being held to identify new talent for future international competitions. And according to Moses Muhanji, the boxers come from all over Uganda.
Because even in this competition, there are boxers from Bulu, boxers from Masindi, boxers from the East. So we have boxers all over the country. It's just that what had been lacking is the regular events to keep on picking these talents and also giving them hope. And this also comes about because of the lack of resources. Because boxing is an expensive game. You can see the setup here. Not so many sports require this kind of input for them to happen. If you look at basketball, netball, athletics, all you need is just shoes and stop clocks, and then you're able to do your game. But for boxing, the investment is high, travel the games in. So the more we have regular games, the more we shall have people interested in boxing, and the more we shall have the whole entire corners of the country participating in boxing games. Yeah.
Yourself, you are a boxer before you came into before you retired and eventually went into administration. How do you compare boxing at your time in terms of talent, in terms of facilities, in terms of administration which you belong to with the current one?
So many things have changed from the past
to the
now.
Better
to the better, because we have changed positively. When you look at the technical capacity of the federation, many years ago we didn't have so many technical officials. Now we have so many of them. We have ITOs, we have NTOs, we have AIBA qualified coaches and referees. So we are moving in a better direction by training people first, equipping them with skills, so that we are able to impart the same skills in the remaining population, which was never there in the past. The only difference was that in the past, there was a lot of government attention. Boxers were given allowances on time. There were coaches paid on time. There was equipment. There was attention from the government. That's why there was a bit of success in the past. Right now, even when you have the technicals worked on and developed on, but then the government intervention is still lacking, which we are striving to attract every single day.
And congratulations, recently I read that you are appointed on the AIBA Elections Committee. What's your role and how important is it for Ugandan boxing?
At AIBA, it's very first time we're having a Ugandan raise that level of AIBA. AIBA is the International Boxing Association, and they have two responsibilities. The first one is I'm a member of the Marketing Commission for AIBA, in charge of attracting resources for the whole entire organization worldwide. Then also my other responsibility is the Elections Commission as an observer for elections worldwide still. So this puts Uganda at the world stage, and we are able to reach at the high table where decisions are being made, and that we can be able to advocate for the well-being of boxing in Uganda. So Ugandans should be extremely happy about this, because it has never happened before. Because that's the only way you can connect the world and Uganda. But now with my presence there, it connects us. And we need to have more people come to AIBA from Uganda, because AIBA has so many functions. So we need to train more. Like we have a referee judge, three-star Chiga. He's now at that level as well.
We cannot end the interview without asking you about the forthcoming Commonwealth Games, which is just next year. And you already hinted on it that some of the boxers are going to be part of the Bombers team that will represent Uganda. What specifically are you looking at in terms of success? The last time we represented Uganda won actually a medal there. Yeah, what are you hoping for?
The last time, like you said, 2018, we had just taken office. We were able to win a bronze medal. And now we hope for more medals. We could even have gone for gold then. Even now we can go for gold and get these gold medals. But like I told you, it comes back to preparation. For us, we are doing our job as a federation, identifying the teams very early because the games are in July. Now almost 8 months down the road, you are already identifying the teams. So that means we are ready as a federation, but we'll only get challenges if we don't get resources to train better, to prepare better, have friendly games, have regular competitions at a national level, at international level as well. So that's where we'll probably get a challenge. But as a federation, we're already on point. We have the teams going to be ready, I think, like next week. So all we need is the government intervention. You see this question of what we want, where we normally have a misunderstanding with most people. It's not an issue of the federation. It's an issue of the country. So the same questions you're asking me, also you should ask the Minister of Sports, National Council, for them, what do they want? They're the ones that actually take the credit at the end of the day.
Of course, you understand the national teams are funded by the government, and the government has prioritized where to put the resources. They have had issues in funding basketball, and it has been challenging. But in football, you see football getting a lion's share in terms of being funded. As the president of boxing in Uganda, what are you doing to make sure that boxing, which flies Uganda's flag at most major events and gets medals, what are you doing to make sure that the government can get your attention and you get funds?
The only thing we can do is ask for government to have an honest discussion with all federations. And this could happen through National Council of Sports. The federations come together and then we discuss this and also maybe develop a funding guideline that is agreeable to all of us because we are all sports federations. So if we have a practical funding guideline, then this problem is solved. But right now, if there's no funding guidelines, then the challenge continues. And at the end of the day, the question is, what does the government want? Do you want to win the medals, or you want to just go and participate and come back? Boxing has brought medals, athletics has brought medals. So it's high time the people running sports sit down and analyze these things. And they ask themselves, what do they want? Is it participation? Is it winning medals? And then they get prioritized, which sports can give you those medals. Then boxing will get what it's due because it has a rich history of winning medals in the past and today.
You sound so sure that once funds are available, Uganda can become a dominant force in boxing in Africa and the world at large.
Yeah, because we have done it before. When there were funds in boxing, we were number three in the whole entire world. We are as big as that. So, because then there was funds, there was regular games, there was all these things. So everything we're talking about has happened in the past. So we're not just gambling, we're not speculating. Boxing has made this happen in the past when given due attention. So we hope if the same happens now, the same will happen.
That's Moses Muhanji, the president of the Uganda Boxing Federation. And he spoke with Magume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Shida Len, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida. In African athletics, Kenya has submitted a bid document to host the 2025 World Championships. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Nairobi, where he reached a sports journalist with the BBC Africa Service, Michelle Katami.
It's no surprise at all. I mean, this was coming, especially because Athletics Kenya has been very vocal about Kenya hosting a senior athletics championships. And also the Kenyan government gave Athletics Kenya the go-ahead to bid for the World Athletics Championships. And the other fact is that World Athletics is very keen on countries that have given a lot to the sport to host athletics event. And we all know that Kenya is right at the top in terms of contributing immensely to athletics.
Kenya hosted the World Under 20 Athletics Championship after the Tokyo Olympic Games. Do you think this is an advantage to host the bigger event?
Hosting the World Under 20 is an advantage. However, Kenya has hosted three World Athletics events. If you remember the World Cross Country in 2007 at the Kenyan coast, Mombasa, World Under 18 in 2017, and this year the World Under 20. It has been an upgrade for Kenya in each event, and from World Under 20, it can only be the Senior Athletics Championship that Kenya can host. Now, we can say that Kenya has experience of hosting these events. And if I can add on, there's a one-day World Athletics Continental Tour Gold called Kipkeino Classic, which this year attracted lots of big names, including Justin Gatlin. But I think the where Kenya will struggle will be a modern stadium, which Kenya lacks, because the main stadium, which is Kasarani, was built in the 1980s.
If Kenya's bid is approved or is successful, it will be the first for Africa. What will be the benefits for Kenya and Africa?
If Kenya is successful, it will be huge for the country and the continent. It will also be a legacy for World Athletics President Sebko, who is very keen on Africa hosting the World Athletics Championships. There are so many benefits of hosting a sporting event like the World Athletics Championship, and for the country mainly, it's the economic impact it has across hospitality, transport, tourism, and more. And I think it will also help promote athletics on the continent by creating awareness. And above all, it will improve the status of Kenya and Africa and place it where it needs to be on the world map, high up there by virtue of contributing a lot to the world of athletics.
That's Michelle Katami, a sports journalist with the BBC Africa Service. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi, Kenya.
Sporty greetings. This is Michelle Katami, BBC Sport Africa journalist. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview.
The James Webb Space Telescope, scheduled for launch this December, is equipped with a much larger mirror than the Hubble and is said to be 100 times more powerful. This is Rick Pantaleo. Please join me for a preview of this new space observatory on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. My guest will be Eric Smith, program scientist for the James Webb Space Telescope program at NASA. Be sure to listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is a big week in Africa's qualifying competition for the 2022 FIFA World Cup football tournament in Qatar. There are matches all across the continent. In one of the qualifiers Thursday, Rwanda will host Uganda in Kigali. Joining us once again from Kampala with a preview is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty warm greetings, Magume.
Sporty warm greetings to Tusane and our listeners. The two East Africans will be hoping they get maximum points to remain in contention for a top finish in Group E of the CAF World Cup qualifiers. Without Arnold Okwi, the Uganda Cranes will be captained by midfielder Harid Oucho, who plays for Young Africans in the Tanzania Premier League. Aucho says his team is up to the task.
We reached in the camp when the players are in a good mood, and the way coach is preparing us, everything is okay. And what I can say, we shall get the points in Rwanda, and we shall get the points in Uganda.
Matches between these two neighbors are usually unpredictable. For example, in 2003 AFCON qualifier, the two played the glorious draw at Amahoro Stadium in Rwanda, but it was the then visiting Rwanda who merged winners at Nambole to qualify for the 2004 AFCON finals. Uganda Cranes coach Milton Mitchell says he's well aware of the challenge ahead.
It is our attack against their defense. It is our defense against Medi Kagere, Jacques Tuyisenge, and others. So we believe that every single battle will be won on the field, because winning the individual battles, winning the department battles, will lead towards winning the overall football war against our brothers and neighbors, Rwanda.
Both countries have not registered a win in the group, with Uganda earning 2 points, while Rwanda has only 1 point. Sports reporter Leon Senyang says Uganda will be on more pressure to deliver.
It's an evenly poised fixture, but I think Uganda is the hungrier side, given the fact that they haven't yet lost a match, but they are desperately in need of a victory. Uganda comes off the back of approximately 8 matches without a win, competitive matches without a win. That is excluding the CECAFA Championship.
The Amavubi captain, Haruna Niyonzima, told Rwanda's English Daily, The New Times, that his team will bounce back from the 1-1 draw against Kenya and get victory at home against the Uganda Cranes at Stade Regional Nyamirambo in Kigali on October 7th. The game we played against Kenya was not bad, because we had many chances to score, but failed to use them. We have to make sure that we can fight for 3 points at home against Uganda. Niyonzima was quoted by the New Times. Felix Gakuba Romario, a sports analyst in Rwanda, says he expects a tense game between the two neighbors.
For Haruna, it won't be that easy. But as an experienced player, who has actually been in the team since 2006, he is the one that will be leading this team. At the same time, it will be interesting to see if Mashami will take a risk of introducing the new boys, the likes of Rafael York from Sweden, who has been eligible now to play. This is a boy who is very creative in the a few training sessions we've seen, and a few games, if you see his games in Sweden, the boy who played for under 19 of Sweden, is a boy that actually has a sigh of relief for Rwanda because he can be very creative.
Coach Mitchell, who previously managed the Amavubi, says he knows well his opponent's strength, including his counterpart, Vincent Mashami, who was his understudy when Mitchell coached the Amavubi from 2011 to 2013.
I respect him as my student, but I want to show that professor has not forgotten the lesson of life. But also, I want to say that 10 years is such a big period of time where we have grown. I believe that I'm at least 10 times in 10 years much better coach than I was. And before anything, coach is here nothing. I believe in these players more than in my coaching. I believe that inside them, that positive element of patriotism, fire in their heart playing for the people and giving the happiness to the people, will unleash the best version of themselves, unleash the Ugandan version of football lions that will at Nyamirambo roar with the best possible performance.
Fellow East Africans, Kenya will visit Mali at Grand Stade Agadir in Morocco and will have new coach Engin Firat appointed on 2-month basis looking for Harambee Stars' first win. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitchell Sredovic, national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Here in the United States, the Major League Baseball playoffs began Tuesday night when two longtime rivals, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees, met in the American League's wild card game in Boston, Massachusetts. And the Red Sox were victorious, as we hear now from the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh in Boston.
The Red Sox are moving on after a wild 6-2 win over the rival Yankees in the American League wildcard game. Xander Bogaerts hit a first-inning two-run homer to set the tone for the Red Sox in their first-ever wildcard game.
You got to enjoy the moment. This was definitely a really, really tough game, one and out. I never played in any game like this.
Kyle Schwarber added a solo shot, and Nathan Eovaldi pitched 5 3rd innings of one-run ball. Anthony Rizzo and Giancarlo Stanton clubbed solo homers for the Yankees, while starter Gerrit Cole gave up 3 runs in 2+ innings.
There's really nothing that you can do to make it feel any better. You know, you can't be afraid of this feeling.
Boston will face Tampa Bay in the ALDS. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. The National League's wild card game will be later Wednesday night in Los Angeles, California, where the reigning World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers will host the St. Louis Cardinals. And the winner of that game will go on to play the San Francisco Giants in a National League Division Series. Batter up! The Major League Baseball playoffs are underway. And that wraps up the October 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.